President Donald Trump reportedly feels increasingly emboldened to act upon his priorities, and he cites rising poll numbers of late to substantiate acting on his instincts. Let's look at the numbers with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Are these Gallup numbers that the president's looking at?
No, they're not. And he's overlooking at the numbers he is looking at. A couple of points. One is he typically refers to, in his tweets and otherwise, a Rasmussen poll, which we can talk about, which typically runs up to 10 points higher than the average of all other polls. And second, when people come out with polls, occasionally they'll be up a couple of points from the last time they took a poll, as was the case for CNN not too long ago. And he and others leap on that and say, look, my approval rating's going up. But when we at Gallup look at our long-term trends and when we look at the averages of other polls over time, we really don't see any change at all in the Americans' approval of the job Trump is doing as president.
How might they contrast with President Obama's numbers in March of his term?
Yeah, that was interesting because President Trump tweeted out one Rasmussen poll that had him up at 51%, and then he compared it to an Obama number and said, look, I'm doing better than Obama. That's not the case. In our Gallup poll for all of March back in 2010, which would have been the comparable time in Obama's first term, Obama had an overall job approval rating of 49%. And for all of March this year, Trump's job approval rating is 39%. So he's running about 10 points behind Barack Obama at this time in both of their presidencies.
Frank, I'd like to take you up on it. Let's focus on that Rasmussen polling.
Yeah, it's not that they are intentionally trying to distort the numbers, but there are methodological differences which are very important for our listeners to be aware of. For one thing, they use what we call IVR polling, which is interactive voice reporting, which basically means they call listed numbers and you answer by pushing in touch-tone buttons. You know, if you approve, push one. If you disapprove, push two. Listed numbers is the big factor there because they tend to skew older and more likely to say they support Trump. Now, Rasmussen is aware of this, so that organization augments their polling with some online polls that they think help correct for the listed number bias. And the consensus, however, is that that really hasn't been shown to be effective. And finally, they look at likely voters. They screen down to people who say they're likely to vote, and those typically skew significantly more Republican than Democrat. So when you put all that together, you've got a poll that, as I mentioned a minute ago, typically averages up to 10 points higher than the average of most other polls which ask about Donald Trump.
That Rasmussen pollsters are not here to defend themselves. Might they, though, in turn suggest that Gallup polling and others are 10 points below the average?
Well, I'm not sure what that organization would say. And as I say, they're not out to do anything deliberately shady. They make it very clear what they're doing. And I think they would probably agree that their methodology and their use of likely voter would make a difference. But you might ought to have them on the show sometime and have them defend their methods.
Well, why don't we instead in the moment look at some of those priorities of the president? Immigration, much in the news this week with the president saying he's authorizing National Guard soldiers to go to the border. What do Americans think about immigration in general at this juncture?
Yeah, that's a great question. We don't have any polling right now in the last several days asking about sending National Guard troops to defend the border. But we do know when we ask Americans, should we have border security to keep people from entering the country illegally, they say yes. I've seen polls, our own polling, with 80 or 90% saying yes. But it is a low priority in answer to your question. We just ask a bunch of worries. How much do you worry about this? How much do you worry about that? And immigration was almost at the bottom of the list. Only 34% of Americans said they worried a great deal about illegal immigration. The very top of the list was the availability and affordability of health care, which is way up at 56%.
To the extent that economic concerns are still near the top, the president toward that end says he is considering imposing tariffs. Do Americans think that that's a good way to ultimately grow the economy?
Well, a lot of polls have asked specifically about the tariffs he did announce on aluminum and steel, and every poll that I've seen shown majority, or at least plurality, disagreement with the idea of those tariffs. Underlying that is data which show that Americans are very positive about trade in concept. When we ask, is trade good for the country's economy or is it bad for the country's economy? Overwhelmingly, Americans, and this includes both Republicans and Democrats, say trade is good for the country. Now, Republicans might say the reason we think it is good is because President Trump is going to make it better with the tariffs. But Americans don't have this very negative view of the impact of trade that the president seems to have as he announces these kinds of tariffs. And we're getting into what could be a trade war with China.
Frank, lastly, let's take up the teaching profession. Very sobering to learn that around a quarter of teachers wish they'd chosen another profession. Why?
Absolutely. 25% of teachers say they wish they had not gone into teaching as a profession. And we have data in the same survey of teachers, which gives us a clue as to why. We asked teachers, how much influence do each of the following have on decisions that are made at your school? And teachers agree that the school administration and school board have a lot of influence, but they, beyond that, say it's the state government and then the federal government that have a great deal of influence, and they put themselves, teachers, below all of the above. And they put parents even below that. Then we turned around and said, all right, how much influence should these entities have on decisions at your school? And teachers put themselves absolutely at the top. So in other words, teachers say, we don't have any input now, relatively speaking, or little input. We should have a great deal more input. And guess what's at the bottom of the desired list on the part of teachers? Federal and state government. Teachers very much down on interference by these larger entities into what happens in their local schools.
If the teachers had more control, would they perhaps wish that students spent less time in front of their screens?
Mixed bag. They actually think that screens can be good for education. And I'm supposing they're saying here, well, maybe iPads in the classroom and some things like that could be good. But when we ask teachers, are kids looking at their phones and iPads and all that good for their, that is, the students' mental health and their physical health, teachers fairly strongly say, no, we think they're harmful to students.
As you cite mental and physical health, I'm wondering if perhaps school shootings is also a factor making teachers reconsider their profession.
It's possible. We asked that question as well in our recent poll, and 22% of teachers said that they have reconsidered teaching, or they're more worried at any rate because of the safety concerns at their school. So that's a factor as well, I'm sure, in some teachers' concern right now about their profession.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.